Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the first half of the show, very inspirational. I got a piece of parchment from days of yore that has my name on it, and we go over it. But I think it's the kind of thing you're going to want to listen to with your kids and really understand life as we head into the new year. Very important words. First, Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money, put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. At geico.com, just go to geico.com, spend a couple minutes, find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com.
This message is brought to you by Cologuard. Cologuard is a one-of-a-kind way to screen for colon cancer if you are 45 or older and at average risk for colon cancer. It's uniquely effective because it is the only FDA-approved, non-invasive screening test that looks for both altered DNA and blood in your stool. You know, I've actually had personal experience using Cologuard. I loved that the test kit gets delivered right to your door so that you can collect your sample on your own.
And in addition to the convenience and ease of use, it also is affordable. Most insured patients paid $0.
We really want to emphasize to our friends and listeners how important it is to screen for colon cancer if you're 45 or older. So please talk to your healthcare provider about your screening options, including screening for colon cancer with Cologuard. Cologuard is available by prescription only. You can also request a Cologuard prescription today at Cologuard.com/podcast. Do not use Cologuard if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease, and certain hereditary syndromes, or have a personal or family history of colorectal cancer. False positive and negative results may occur. Any positive result should be followed by a colonoscopy, not a replacement for a colonoscopy in high-risk patients. This story reflects one individual's experience. Not every person will have the same treatment, experience, outcome, or result.
During the season of giving, we'd like to offer you a little something special, and all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time. We need you to complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and helps support the show. It'll only take a couple of minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastone.study and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 150 people to complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. So please go to podcastone.study, and as always, thank you for supporting the show. And happy holidays from all of us at Podcast One.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Kevin Pollak. With Gina Gratt on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Brad Evans calls in with his NFL picks. And now, bright, but not so merry, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We got a mandate. Get it on as we head to our biggest show of the year coming up tomorrow and then into the Christmas break and then sailing our 12th year as we pass 11. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian. I'll reach. You touch. I had a moment last night. I think everybody does as they get to the end of the year. They tend to reflect a little bit, some good, some bad. I'd gone out last night and done a later set at the Laugh Factory, and so I got home later, like, I don't know, 11:30 or something. And I got home, and I turned on the Twitter there, and there waiting for me was a photograph of the parchment paper from the All-Valley football team that I never received or have, or I don't know where it is. Things... Carollas didn't have a lot of articles that were suitable for framing, but even if they were suitable for framing, we still wouldn't frame them. No. So
where would one even get a frame?
Right. So I got it. Who sent me this thing?
This is Anel Rivers. Huh. Anel Rivers.
And Anel Rivers.
Good. That was my gay porn name. So he sent me this, and it's a little hard to read. I don't know, Max Barry. I have to blow it up a little. It's the coach's selection, which I never knew. It's funny. They pick gold, and then they pick silver. I don't know why they picked silver. They should have picked black so you could read it. But it's the All-Central Valley League team, and that's the varsity high school football team from 1981. And it's just the actual piece of parchment. And if you go along the first team and you get toward the bottom, you'll see my name on the first team there. And I was sort of looking at it. I thought, oh, it's nice to have the actual paper. I mean, I don't own the actual paper, but I'll find it and blow it up or something.
There you are.
And
Mr. North Hollywood.
And I was the only guy in my high school to make the first team all league team because we sucked.
They had six backs, two receivers, and four linemen. Well, what a team!
I know.
Team had not done well for a lot of ineligible receivers downfield.
Wait, do you see what happened?
When
we went into the shotgun, the ball would just sail into the opposing team's end zone. There's nobody there.
We ran no plays.
No, I was looking at it. I said everyone just got labeled a back. I ran into Nate Sharma, who was the quarterback for Van Nuys. Mm-hmm. Some of those guys were quarterbacks. I don't know why they just gave him the B designation. Why not the QB? But they just go line or back or whatever.
What's REC?
Receiver.
Oh, okay.
So it's also kind of interesting that I always say this.
Quante Hampton.
That's right.
What a name.
I was looking Quante Hampton from Van Nuys.
I'll tell you right now, that guy's a stud.
He doesn't need a D, DeQuante.
No, Quante's fine. No D or apostrophe D or DE needed there. I also started to look closer, and the defensive player of the year or lineman of the year or whatever was the guy from Van Nuys who was named Paul Julio or something, and he was the guy I always tell you in Fast Times at Ridgemont High who's jumping up and down on the sideline because they filmed at a Van Nuys football game, and they filmed in 1981 or 80 or whatever, that guy, most valuable lineman. Anyway, I remember that. So I was just looking at it, and I was going... And I just got done doing comedy, and everyone was asleep, and it was late, and I had a glass of scotch, and I started reflecting, where was I in 1981? By the way, North Hollywood High, there's Fred Nielsen, there's Gary Smith, and there's Nick Bernal, who came in here, who was Mr. Bernal to you, who one of the guys I ran into. Gary Smith. So I thought, okay. Let's see, and as we get to the end of the year, and as you guys start thinking about what the new year may hold for you, I thought this would be an interesting little discussion. I started off low in life when I was young, very young, living with my two parents, and then at some point I discovered football, and there was something I was good at. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was good at something for a change. I wasn't a good student. I didn't have good family, good parents, a good home life. But I was I did well at this. Now, it's interesting because I was a really good athlete when I was seven, but the first year I showed up, for some reason, I just sat on the bench the whole time. And then the next year, I just showed up. And I remember the coaches being kind of surprised because usually you get a seven-year-old, ride the pine for a year. He doesn't come back. They didn't know where I was coming from.
Right. This is way better.
I got nowhere else to go.
That's right. So I came back, and Mr. Kramer, I believe, who's Eric Kramer's dad, NFL player for many years, was one of our coaches. And I remember it's either him or Mr. Usher. I think it was Mr. Kramer. I'll never forget it. He just went, hey, Carolla, you're back. You know, I'm back for now. I was a trow babe, and now I'm a gremlin, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was a farm and then gremlin. And he was like, you're back. And I said, I'm back. And he's like, I'm tickled pink to see that. And I remember sticking my head, when you're eight, tickled pink. What does that mean? Okay. But anyway, there I was back. So started off bad, came back, and just dominated because I was a better athlete than everybody for the next 3 years, just dominated. Then I had this horrible shoulder injury and was totally jacked out of the whole season. I did it in preseason game, and that was Pop Warner. The season was destroyed. And then I came back and kept playing, but everyone else started getting better.
Mm. Well, they didn't have a unicycle.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I did not, because of my genes, because of my trumpet playing genes, because of my dad's horrible football genes and my mom's horrible football genes. My sheer sort of coordination and balance and athleticism used to dominate. Now everyone's growing into a man.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going right by me.
I played the video of me hitting the grand slam in Little League when I was like 12 years old. It was
strutting to first base.
That was the peak of my athletic career.
Right.
Like I worked my ass off. I really wanted to be good at Little League, and I worked my ass off. And I was actually, you saw, I was actually okay. I was above average. And at that point, kids started. You know, when I turned 13, that's when puberty started. Kids started throwing curveballs, and it was all over. But that's where it peaked for me.
As a guy and as a girl, you start off as all equal relatively about age 10. Mm-hmm. Some guys are a little taller, some guys are a little faster, but all about equal. We don't know if you're going to turn into a sequoia tree, a palm tree, a bonsai tree. Mm-hmm. My dad's bonsai. He's bonsai. And not in the heroic way. We don't know what you're going to grow into.
A medium-sized tree that loses all its leaves.
Right. Right.
For example.
Right. Then gets a tumor in the trunk.
We can stop. We can stop.
Okay. Sorry.
The
metaphor
is
good. So I started growing into my dad's genes, which is never played a sport in his life and weighs 145 pounds soaking wet. And these other guys, and other guys sloughed off too. But football wasn't all they had.
Right.
Football's all I had. So they were sloughing off, and I should have sloughed off. But I'm like, this is all I got. And so now I'm up there playing with super strong guys. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, by the time I get to the 10th grade, which was my first year in high school, I'm not so good anymore. And everyone else around me is good. And I'm in the 10th grade, and I'm sitting on the bench of the B team. And you're not supposed to be on the bench of the B team if you're any good, because that's the B team. And now, we already know I'm a bad student. We already know the family's a mess. Mm. And then this one salvation thing known as football, you want to hang your hat on, have some pride, and go, I do this well. Mm. That's fleeting. So that's fading fast. So I get to this crossroads at the end of the football season in the 10th grade, and I go, well, what's it going to be? Like, we're going to quit? We're going to come back as a B? And start next year? Like, what is the plan? And I remember Coach Smith, not Gary Smith, the mean Smith. There were two Coach Smiths. One of them was super cool. One of them was an asswipe. They both taught driver's ed, and I didn't get the cool one when I took driver's ed. So he came up to me. The banquet was at a bit of old Stockholm smorgasbord and like on Lancashire.
Please
and
tell me that exists. I will go after the show.
Bit of old Stockholm.
Never heard of it.
It's a smorgasbord. I think it was like on Lancashire back in the day. Max Pat over here now.
I think there was a bit of Scotland too.
There's probably a bit of side, yeah. Something. I didn't even know.
I'm going to make the pilgrimage.
That one's gone.
Bit of stock.
Bit of Scotland.
I didn't know what anything was.
It's
but
so
anyway, I sat. And I remember like putting some potatoes and some meat on my plate. You know, it was a big deal. It's free food and you could eat up. You know, we're having the banquet. And the coach came up to me and he goes, take it easy. Take it easy on that potatoes. You got to make weight for next year because the B team, you had to make the weight.
Oh, if you're too big and strong, they wouldn't let you play in the B team.
Well, they didn't care how strong you were.
Well, yeah, ostensibly
too big and strong, yeah.
Yeah, implied
well,
strong.
Also, if you're going to play as an 11th grader, you couldn't weigh as much as a 10th grader.
That makes
they
sense.
Did a sliding scale, you know. So he was like, bit of Stockholm smorgasbord on Lancashire in North Hollywood.
Wait, if that's a matchbook, then they definitely don't exist because nobody's giving those out anymore.
No, that's back in the day. They didn't put the area code.
We found the selling on eBay.
Buy it.
Get
I don't
it.
Care what it costs. It's my rosebud.
My rosebud.
You have
a lot of rosebuds.
I got a lot of rosebuds.
Yeah, your unicycle.
A lot of rosebuds. So he said, take it easy. You're going to be starting next year. And I remember thinking, I am? And then I went, F it. And I put like extra piles of potatoes on my plate. And I said, right now, it's the end of the season for the B team. I'm going to eat like a mofo. I'm going to live in the weight room. And I'm going to varsity next year. Mm. And then I'll sit on the bench on varsity. Because why would I start on varsity? I didn't start on the B team. But I will be on varsity next year.
That was the snake offering you the apple. You know what
right.
I mean? That's a seductive offer. Yeah. Ooh, starting next year.
Yeah. Yeah, the snake was trying to take away the au gratin potato.
They replaced it with an apple.
Right. So I was like, you know what? No, I'm doubling down. And I went against my genetic code, and I started eating like six hard-boiled eggs a day for lunch. I started living in the weight room. And I went from like 50 to like 182 pounds like the next year. Like I put on like 30, 35 pounds.
Well, I have a clip from that era.
I want fucking cabbage.
Wow, you're true to your word.
And I, sure enough, sat on the bench and struggled to, you know, make my way on the varsity squad. And then at some point, Steve Utley went down and got injured. And then like another guy got injured. And the next thing you know, I was starting on the varsity team. And
was Mike Utley the guy who got hurt in the Super Bowl? The Bengals, or am I totally blanking on that name? That broke his leg.
Yeah, that guy, white dude.
Yeah, he snapped his leg in half.
Okay.
Yeah, up. Sorry. What? Not Utley.
Oh, I'm so close.
It was so close. He kicked his leg out, got it broke. Yeah. I don't want to see it, but anyway, it was.
I just, that made me think, like, what are the chances? Anyway, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Diversion. I'm
trying to think of that guy's name. It's bothering me now, too. But anyway, bang. Up. Yeah. Anyway, interior lineman went out like first play of the game. All right. So I then made the team. I, you know, that started. And the next year I started both ways and I got all valley and blah, blah, blah. And then the season ended and I was right back down to zero again.
Now, Crumry.
I walked. Then it was time to go from All Valley football player to glorified Goomper on construction site and start picking up garbage.
The mighty have fallen.
So I was like, now I graduate high school. I have nowhere to go. I'm living in a garage. I'm flat broke. The economy's junk in 82, 83. And I got nothing to do but work for minimum wage doing manual donkey labor. So I realized that, okay, I got to start over. I got to start over, but I already started over. I already went down and then came back up again. I went from sitting on the B team bench to All Valley in about 2.5 years. So now I'm like, okay, I'm not consciously thinking this, but I know I have the experience of going down and coming back up again.
It can be done.
So now I'm going to go to the construction site, and now I'm on like, I'm on another three-year plan, which is I want to have a truck, have a skill saw, be wearing bags, and not be busting out stucco and digging 3 years from now. I want to be paid as a carpenter. Mm-hmm. And I work my way up to that. And then once I got to that, I'm like, now I went out altogether. I want to do some comedy or write some jokes or help people write jokes or something. And I eventually got out of that. And then when I was 30... it was now time to start the climb again. Like, I was with Jimmy. We were at K-Rock. I was not getting paid, but there was some potential. And the climb began again. So it started the climb at, like, 15, 15 and a half, then bottomed out again at, you know, 18, 19, then began the climb, then got to some point at 25, 26, where I was like, as a carpenter, made $15 an hour, like I was okay, but not good. Then I started the climb to get to 30. Mm-hmm. And then at 30, it was just like, you know, walking around K-Rock hoping someone would, you know, take pity on us. Then climbed. I was doing all this thinking last night. I was drinking scotch.
Boy, were you?
Then climbed up to the point from there where I was taken over for Howard Stern on the West Coast affiliates. Did that and then had all that go away. And then back to the economy's busted in 08, 09. Nobody's hiring. There's no more syndicated radio gigs anymore. There's less now, but there wasn't. Phone's not ringing. Now I got kids and they're young and then I'm back. I'm right back again. I have some irons in the fire. There's no guarantees. I have some experience, but really the experience I have is climbing. I have the experience I got from high school that I went, if I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I'm going to start eating these hard-boiled eggs, and I'm going to live in that weight room, and I'll see where this goes. And I did it, and it worked out. It ended up good, and then it went down to little less than zero after I got out of high school, because that was just pure poverty mixed with like horrible labor and you know, living conditions and blah, blah, blah. But I had all this experience of pulling myself up and climbing up and figuring things out. And also knew that there was no direct path that I could work out in my head. I knew work hard, live in that weight room, good things will probably happen, but we don't know. Right. And then when the radio world and that, you know, Jimmy was off doing his own thing. I had a partner that I'd do TV shows with, but he became a long-running late-night TV show guy. There's no, you know, you're not hitting me up to go on a Man Show tour. You know, we could have easily toured colleges as the Man Show guys and made good money, but he's not going on tour as the Man Show. We're not going to do a reboot of the Man Show on Comedy Central or anything. It was nothing to do with my partner other than be a guest on his show. So I began the climb again, which was, all right, we're going to do this thing called podcasting. We don't know what it is. This is damn near 11 years ago. There is no business model for it, but I think I'm just, let's just start climbing. Let's just eat those eggs and go in that weight room. And I also have this feeling of, I'm not religious or anything. It's just magically things tend to work out when you get up and work hard and take care of things. And now here we are, you know, 11 years on. And I just started looking at that and I realized that experience of when I was 8 years old coming back to play Pop Warner football after riding the pine for an entire year at seven, that is probably what led to me telling Mean Coach Smith, I'm not coming back for a second year of the Bees. I don't even know if I ever expressed it to him. I just
went. You did with your second helping.
I did it my second helping of potatoes. That led me to that. That led me to the construction site and digging out of that. And all that stuff that was set along the way is what sort of greased the skids for the ability to do this. And so everybody, you may not look at everything as an opportunity or even a good thing, but it's always an opportunity to build some muscle and some intestinal fortitude and a little bit of work ethic. So all that stuff you don't want to do because there's no reward to. Sitting on the bench in football is the worst. You practice all week and then the game starts and you watch the game sitting on the bench. It's all the bad and none of the good, but it turned out to serve me, you know, exceedingly well. And that's what that piece of parchment reminded me of last night.
And the scotch.
And you know
and
what?
The scotch, thank you.
You know what was glaringly, also two words we might not need, absent from that story? Resentment. Because it is.
Well, there's plenty of that.
But it's so tempting and so easy to just cool your heels and point at that person and go, well, that's why I'm spun out right now. And what am I supposed to do? And if that guy would still be doing this thing, or if I didn't get cut from that.
And then you get
the luxury of sitting around and opining.
Yeah, it's a very good point, which is I didn't do a lot of finger pointing. I was like, you could blame coach so-and-so or this other guy who's starting in front of you. You know, I had a senior starting in front of me on the B team. And it's like, what's this loser doing on the B team as a senior? He's going to start. He's starting in front of me. I could have been pissed at him, but I was like, this is the reality of your world. Yeah. Also, I don't think these guys understand, like when I got to K-Rock, I was like, Kevin Weatherly's the most prestigious, most awarded programmer in the world. He doesn't think I'm funny. I know he doesn't think I'm funny. I'm positive he doesn't think I'm funny. I'm going to get him to think I'm funny. I'm not going to barge into his office and demand that he think I'm funny. I'm going to make him think I'm funny. And I'm going to make this coach want to start me. And I'm going to make that foreman want to give me a raise. I'm going to make him do it. I'm not going to talk him into it.
Make him think it's his
idea. I'm not going to do it out of apathy. Like, I'm not going to go, oh, you know, I got a dog at home and we don't have enough money. I'm not going to tell them any stories. I'm just going to let them watch, learn, and then they will come to me and offer this stuff.
Don't give them a choice. You know,
right.
Make it not a choice.
That was my plan. And yes, I kind of knew I had bad circumstances where I came from my family and stuff, but I also looked at it, was kind of a luxury. It was a luxury for me having my parents, because I was always like, your mom and your dad, they don't do shit for you. So why is Coach Wilson going to do something for you? Or why is that foreman going to do something? Or why is Kevin Weatherly going to Tripp Reed? Right. Why is anyone going to do anything for you? They're not going to do anything for you. They're going to have to want to do something.
It's going to be in their interest.
It's going to be in their interest. You're not going to You're not going to throw yourself on the mercy right. of Jimmy Kimmel's court. Jimmy right. Kimmel's going to have to understand that you're good and want to work with you. That's the other thing, too. It's like if you blame other people, you give them all the power.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're in charge.
Yeah.
They stop me from doing this. And if you kind of go... You kind of go work on them, like, hey, could you do this? And they begrudgingly go, fine,
here's
do a thing. You know, I'll give you a... Then they, A, that they don't really like you. And then B, that's so short-lived,
yeah.
you know, that thing of like, and a lot of people do a lot of like, I want more of this or do that. Just let them observe you kicking ass. You think they don't see it. It takes a while. Sometimes they don't. But... Let them sit back and watch you work your ass off in practice. Watch your technique. Mm-hmm. Watch when you're running wind sprints, they'll see that you're amongst the front people right. versus, I'm cramping up, coach. Yeah. I got to sit on a helmet's not a chair. They notice all that stuff. They figured it out. All right.
Well said.
There's my message for the new year for everybody. Yeah, Tim Crumry, 1989 Super Bowl.
I don't know where that name came from in my mind, but brutal injury.
I know. And it was against your 49ers.
It was. It was like the first quarter.
Yeah. That ended up being a good game, but Tim Crumry was one of those kind of overachiever, at work, living mm-hmm. the weight room guys.
Until...
He got his leg busted for it. All right. Let's see. Let's talk about Morning Zoo. All right, good. We love this one, too. Hey, John, 31, Denver.
Ace man, ball man, Gina man, get it all, man.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
I just want to thank you guys for a great year. Got a lot of great memories from this year. I got three that kind of stick out as kind of the best moments of the year for me. Mm-hmm. Number one, when you went to Vegas and interviewed Adrian Bronner right before his fight with Manny Pacquiao, and he was kind of being really cocky and not giving you the time of day. Then he goes in the fight. He's kind of acting like a douchebag and got his ass whooped. So that was number one.
It's always nice.
Number two?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always nice. Number two is cracking me up when you guys recorded Dr. Drew kind of checking out on the Dr. Drew show.
This is an interesting point, John, that I'm going to make you have.
Right.
Which is your next one you love was the Morning Zoo, right? And
absolutely.
And the Morning Zoo is super overtly funny for all the reasons we know it's funny. Like a good dessert is yummy because it's got tons of marshmallows and fudge mm-hmm. and frosting and whatever. But you never know why Dr. Drew's clips are so goddamn funny. I didn't even know it. I was just like making fun of it.
Sometimes I do.
Well, but you don't, Drew. You don't. What I mean is like... That's where the kind of experience and the impulse or the sort of spidey sense comes in, which is Morning Zoo layup. Whitman's is amazing. You guys were great as well. It's going to be good. It's going to work. It's going to work. Dr. Drew, that was just me driving home going, I think there's something there. Now, I don't know. I didn't know how much there. Sorry, Brian, you can play a few of those.
I'll wait till there's a long pause.
All right, here we go. Go ahead.
Right. Right.
You have to picture Drew just watching TV, answering emails, sitting in New York, being a part of the Adam and Dr. Drew show. Is Brad on, by the way? Write something else on the screen if he is or isn't. So Drew.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm pedaling a two-man bike, and you got your feet up on the handlebars.
Right.
Yeah, see what you did there. Like, I know you're in New York. I know you're taking care of business, but I'm manning the ship here.
No, the phone is not on. The TV's not on. I'm listening to you.
You say you're listening, but I keep talking, and you're not really being involved or part of the show.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's called the Adam and Dr. Drew show.
Yeah.
Right. It's Favorite Nations.
Yeah.
So we get paid the same. But I'm working extra hard because you're in New York shooting Teen Mom 7.
Right.
Okay. Is the The TV, online, on the computer, is there some distraction
no,
there?
No, the phone is not on, the TV is not on. I'm listening to you.
So you're just listening.
Right.
Made me laugh.
Fun.
Hey, so thanks, John. Goes.
Impeccable
Thanks,
timing.
Guys. Have a great New Year.
Thanks for listening.
You know, we all have our favorite line from the Morning Zoo, and I tweeted it the other day because I cannot stop thinking about it and saying it to my fiance. You have popped the top on another ass-cracking back sack HR grievance.
You got to find that one because Gina keeps tweeting that.
Oh, God.
And I keep laughing, but I can't. I just keep laughing at him working in Miami.
We have that one ready.
Oh, God.
You have, let's listen to that one. Let's listen to that one more time. That makes me laugh.
The reason I come here is to inspire people having a tough time getting out of bed in the morning. And if you think I am intimidated by your midday television Miami Emmy, I worked in South Florida. I worked at number one Y100, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, in the Palm. And I'm going to tell you something. I happen to be personal friends with Shotgun Todd Kelly. And that man has 6 Daytime Emmy Awards from local programming in San Diego, all kids' shows. Because that man has a heart and a big hat. But he wants to raise those kids because the parents, sometimes sadly, aren't around to do it themselves.
You got to just isolate the Y100 and the pop, blah, blah. It makes me laugh. And yeah, the pop the top on a...
On another HR grievance.
And now you got to find that one, Maxipata.
No, we want to save some of these clips for tomorrow.
Okay, but the HR grievance. Yeah, I got it. It's just, I can hear, when I'm reading the tweet, I can hear it in his voice.
Yep, me too. You've
popped the top. So we got to get Whitman in here on a semi-regular basis and knock that out. Nick, Toronto, last with Bald Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Not too much. I just wanted to say thanks for the year, guys. Been a long-time listener and keeps me warm up in the cold north.
Oh, yeah, nice. Toronto. Yeah, man. You got a last...
That was cool today, so no good.
Last for Bald Brian comment.
Yeah, I just want to thank Brian. I was diagnosed earlier this year with stage 4 lymphoma.
Ooh.
And
treatable, though.
Just finished
treatable, though, yeah, right? Lymphoma is one of the treatable cancers, yes?
Yeah, I actually, when I broke it to my friends, I said, good news, bad news, good news. Good news is I stopped smoking. Bad news is I have cancer. Good news is it's good cancer. Yeah. So try to give some humor. They weren't too appreciative of that joke, but, you know, gotta laugh with it. But I want to appreciate Brian. I wasn't able to go, but I was able to donate to it. Your book and the stories and stuff helped me get through the tough time of going through chemo and all that shit. So thanks very much, man.
It's my pleasure, and it sounds grandiose, like Adam alluded to, but it's my honor that I'm in a position to give back to the community and people like you, Nick, not necessarily specifically to you, but people who are in your position, young adults with cancer. It's really is an honor.
You are not alone, Nick.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. The one thing I do have to bitch about you, though, Brian, didn't get emotional for much. It was just the end of that book killed me with the family
shrinkage.
I was like,
people.
Holy smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Want to know.
Thank you,
it
man.
Great,
it was,
man. It was great, but yeah, you made me cry. So
thanks,
it was a good
man.
One.
I really appreciate that.
Was the part
thanks,
that made
Nick.
Him cry, I can't remember the order of the book. Was it all the douches? Was it that chapter that made him cry?
No, that was a little more lighthearted.
Oh, I can't remember.
It was probably where I got my good news that I was, beating the cancer.
Right.
Promise, but it most likely was referring to.
Okay.
I got a call. Now, Max Pat, I want to play the Prager call that I thought was funny.
Oh, well, let's play that after break.
Oh, okay.
Put Nick on hold.
I'll put... did I not do that?
Do that again.
Let's see.
There we that go. Worked. Bingo.
Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing 3 times.
Crazy.
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is Castrol. Castrol Edge, baby. Get that Edge formula out there and take care of your automobile. All right. Let's see. Last call. Joe, 40, Seattle.
all the women in Seattle, you need to have sex with Joe.
Well, preach, Gina.
Earlier in the year.
I'll take care of the drops around here.
What's going on, Joe?
Well, that was, of course, for me, the high point of the show, but that was in 2018, so it's not eligible. Gina, I thought you were robbed for drop of the year. But
oh, thank you.
You got a favorite moment, Joe?
It did. It just in the wire, just before the end of 2019. It was from the discussion you were having on the air with Gabe about the Chick-fil-A order, and he had a moment of just perfect brilliance, but I think it was unintentional, and no one seemed to notice, so I wanted to give him a shout-out for this. You were talking about when he was getting the Chick-fil-A order ready, and there was something about a urinal that was overflowing at the same time, and they were trying to deal with that. Remember that?
It was raining. There was a urinal overflow.
It was raining inside and outside.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so Gabe mentions at the time that somebody had to deal with a urinal overflowing, and Adam said, "Okay, but did that contribute to the? Did that contribute to the order?" And Gabe says, "It didn't contribute to the order. It contributed to the chaos."
Yeah,
he was good point.
And it just flew by on the air. I don't think anybody noticed, but I thought that was brilliant.
Thanks, Joe.
It's the drop of the year. Spoiler
from Seattle. Yes, thank you. Thanks, Joe. Let's see. Brad Evans is on. Brad, I don't know what Brad. I don't know if we should listen to Brad because I think he's under 500 in his picks.
Just do the opposite. You pay off
you're
like
right.
a slot machine.
You're right. Right. Oh, you want to? Okay. Oh, break. Okay. All right. Well, let's take a break first, and then we'll talk to Brad right after this.
Fans, get it on. The NFL playoffs are right around the corner, and you know what that means. We're getting closer and closer to that final Sunday of the season. Ever wanted to watch the biggest game of the year with the Ace Man? Well, now's your chance. When you sign up for the newsletter at CorollaNewsletter.com, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win an all-expenses-paid trip to Los Angeles to watch the last game of the season in the Carr Museum with Adam and friends. That's wings, barbecue, plenty of endless rant, and hey, it's Hollywood. Who knows who'll be there? So get to CorollaNewsletter.com today, because Corolla Drinks may be flying you and a friend out to the city of homeless angels to hear Adam rant about refs, field goal posts, and half-drunk beers. CorollaNewsletter.com. Sit tight!
Pussy, Mr. Lynch, a loser to behold. Your iPod's full of fish songs. You almost never leave your home, Mr. Lynch. Even though you're 34, you act like you're 79 and a half years old. You're a fat ass, Mr. Lynch. You have breadcrumbs in your beard. Your cholesterol's 350. You smell like a low tide pier, Mr. Lynch. Given the choice between riding cross country with you or turning gay, just call me a queer.
Wow, Dickie Banks, everybody. Wow. Probably Lynch writing half those lines. All right, Brad Evans is going to talk a little pro football coming up. Brad?
Hola, amigos!
Hey, man, let me ask you about my Rams playing Brian San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. 49ers lost a damn heartbreaker last week. Boy, anyone can beat anyone at any time in this league. I'm starting to learn. What do you think of that game? And also, who the hell knows which Rams team is going to show up every week?
Amen to that one. They are very much a Jekyll and Hyde team, to say the least. The good news for your beloved L.A. Rams, the fact that San Francisco's defense is battered and bruised. Richard Sherman's dealing with a hamstring injury. I doubt he'll see the field this weekend. Dee Ford has been fighting various injuries. He may not be available for this game either. So, really, it's an advantageous position for your Rammies to come in there and steal a victory and play the revenge card from earlier this season and return that favor on the road against the Niners team that, you're right, has been deflated recently. That was inexplicable what happened last week. A horrific bad beat, too, if you were on the total. And those points coming in from Atlanta late in the game, but
The clock was expired, right? They picked up a ladder. They're trying to do the lateral thing with the special teams.
Was like the quarterback just kind of threw the ball up in the air.
It was the kickoff return.
Was it the kickoff return? I think it was the quarterback. I thought he was getting sacked in a Hail Mary type thing. I think. I don't know. You tell us, Brad.
Yeah, it was a turnover late in the game that they took back for a touchdown.
That we know. Max Battle, find out. I thought they had their offense on the field, and the quarterback just kind of chucked it. I thought there was one second left,
and they decided to return it. I could be wrong. I was pretty furious at that point.
Either way, I was funny because a little earlier in the game, I took the Niners and gave 10 points. And they went up 19-10, and they were setting up for the extra point, and they missed it.
And they missed it.
That's why you should You should never gamble. You're like, all right, well, I'm going to push. You're like, nope, you just missed it. Yeah, sorry. So what's it going to take for the Rams to get in? Do the Vikings have to lose and the Rams have to win? Or is there some version of that?
Yeah, it's a complicated formula for the Rams, but yeah, I think they don't necessarily control their full destiny. I think they need a couple of the teams to do them some favors and fall on the sword for them to secure a postseason berth. But do you trust this team?
No.
Defensively, they're playing well. Todd Gurley is falling off majorly. Now he's masked the smell with touchdowns, but he's been largely inefficient, and Jared Goff has just been a roller coaster ride. So even if the Rams do punch their playoff ticket, I don't see him surviving, anything outside the wild card round.
I don't either, but everyone but Baltimore feel like it's just playing sort of wild, inconsistent, and if you can figure out a way that doesn't go through Baltimore, who knows if you could string together three games. I don't know.
Also, Niners versus Falcons, I think they've been looking ahead. Keep in mind, they had just come off Baltimore and the Saints, and they were looking ahead to the Rams in that huge game against Seattle, sandwiched in between four really good and important games.
It was a kick return. Bald Brian is right. And it was Tim Crumrye who was kicking the ball. Yeah.
You're saying corrected.
All right. Let's get our picks in for this week, Brad.
Yeah, hashtag say it always, because I've been encased in ice on Hoff here the last couple of weeks, so it's time to thaw out and score some winners for your stocking stuffer. Let's start off with a Saturday matinee matchup between the Texans and Buccaneers. I like the over on 49.5. Both of these defenses, particularly in the secondary, horrific, to put it mildly. Tampa Bay has hit the over in 11 of its last 12 games, even without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. I think Jameis Winston and company put up a ton of points in this one in Houston Madness. So, again, the over on 49.5. I like the Tennessee Titans +3 at home against New Orleans. The Saints were dominant at home in a historic performance by Drew Brees, setting the touchdown record in NFL history. 72% of the public spread tickets right now on the Saints. That's why I like the Titans with their backs against the wall in a must-win situation. At home, Tennessee has covered in four of its last five games. And here's a game that only gamblers or fantasy players could love, Cincinnati-Miami. I like the Dolphins -1 in this one. The Bengals have dropped 15 of their last 16 games straight up. Miami has covered in 7 of its last 10 contests. The Dolphins at home there in South Beach. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, who looks like Hukon Cornelius from the Rudolph the Reindeer television special.
Yes, he does.
He's got a strike it rich, man. I love the Dolphins this week -1.
I mean, Cincy and the Dolphins have a combined 3.5 wins this year or something.
Something like that. Cincy's clearly tanking for that number one pick. Dolphins are at least a little frisky.
Do people tank for the number one?
If it's an important enough player, Joe Burrow's pretty good.
Do they? What if you get caught tanking for the number one?
I mean, that's the thing about tanking is you'll never admit it. You won't win every game.
Yeah, but they never win anyway. Kind of weird. I don't know. Is there tanking for the number one, Brad? Do you think the league is really interested in that, or do they have a way to investigate that? Oh, and what happened?
That's why they did the lottery for NBA. You know, so they would, because one player is that important, at least in the NBA, in the NFL, it's debatable.
Let's talk about the Spygate, you know, 2.0 with the Patriots. I'm a little confused. They keep telling the story about how the Patriot film crew was filming the sideline of Cincy.
Yeah.
But they weren't really telling us why. I mean, I don't know how much information you can get from the sideline. They were pointing the camera not at the field. They're pointing it at the sideline, and that was a violation. Right. But also, I don't know. I mean, you're holding up iPads and showing them to defensive personnel and stuff like that. But how much information can be gleaned from the sideline that way? What were they really accused of doing? Do you know, Brad?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's still under investigation. Jake Glazer, you know, released the video. He saw it on Fox last week. And there isn't a whole lot to glean from it. I mean, you're looking at like equipment guys, basically. He's stealing signs. You know, he's going to zoom in on the photo. And it's Cincinnati. Who cares? I mean, they're wretched. And, you know, New England could go out there and half-ass it and still win the game by double figures, which is essentially what they did. So I think it's all meaningless. It doesn't matter. The only reason why this is a controversy is because it's New England.
Well, it's because
it's illegal.
Well, it's because but listen to all the kids that are listening. This is the problem when you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar. When the next thing comes around and there's nothing in the cookie jar but your hand's still around it, guess who gets blamed? You know what I mean? New England has this history.
Right.
And that's the problem. That's why everyone's going, oh, they're at it again, you know?
A couple of things. One, we didn't see the whole tape. I saw a fragment of the tape, so we don't know what else is on. Number two, you can, depending on how HD it is, you can see the plays, you can see what they're drawing up, and you can see signals. I mean, there's a lot you can see. And the most damning thing of all was the audio of the guy who taped it. He's like, we could delete this right now. No one has to know about this. It's like, you fucking knew what you were doing.
I love when people use the stupid voice.
No, he had the retarded
guilty voice.
No, the retarded Boston accent. That's
we need that New England voice. Yeah, and
hear a little bit of
it. It was kind of peeping Tom at the topless beach because he was pretending like, I love dolphins. Yeah. Like, you're fixed on that chick's tits the entire time. I love aquatic life. Why are we staring at her tits the whole time? Like, that's...
I wasn't recording the dolphins. Why would I do that?
The dolphins. That's right.
Let's get a little bit of that stupid voice.
All right, we'll see if we can do that. Brad, why don't you take care of business for BetDSI?
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's a bittersweet time. The football season is wrapping up here pretty soon, at least the regular season, but college bowl games are on tap starting this Saturday, and you got to have a reason to watch the Bahamas Bowl. So wager on it at BetDSI.com. Use BetDSI's live betting platform. Bet games until the final whistle. And new members get a 100% bonus match with promo code ADAM101. Again, that's ADAM101 to get double your money. Paying winners for 20 years, top-rated on review sites, user-friendly interface and mobile site, and the fastest payouts in the biz. NFL, NBA, NHL, boxing, politics, reality TV, esports. If you can think about it, you can wager on it and do so at BetDSI.com. Use that promo code ADAM101 for a limited time, 100% bonus offer. It's only a game, and so you bet it at BetDSI.
The Fantasy Records, the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One, and of course the TV show, The Fantasy Football Hour with Brad Evans. Thank you, my friend.
Happy holidays, guys. Have a good one.
Oh, what happened to... Well, let's just get the muchas gracias or something.
Yeah, muchas gracias.
He's switching up for the holiday.
All right. Speaking of the holidays, so Kevin Pollak is here, and talk to that very talented and friendly man in a moment. I was listening to my friend Dennis Prager, safespaces.com, if you want to see our movie. And I've really been, as you know, focusing on... We were talking about the, what was I calling it? Oikophobia.
Yes, oikophobia.
And this sort of people know what they know. And then I also was complaining that there was some drainage issue on some property or something. And I was sort of explaining to the adults, like, I've been here when it's raining. I fixed it. I know how it's going to work. And they're like, yeah, our guy doesn't think. And I'm like, no, it works. Yeah, our guy doesn't think. And I'm like... Hello, I'm standing here in front of you and I'm explaining. Do you think I'm a liar? Mm-hmm. And then it's also it's like, why aren't people like, here's the deal. I have like a and hierarchy. I have people I listen to, and then there's other people I listen to with like a little grain of salt. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people I don't really believe when they say something. I go check on it. But I kind of calibrate people. Mm-hmm. And some people use a little hyperbole. Some people speak out of turn. And then some people are a little more precise. Mm-hmm. And if you're precise, it's usually because you've earned your way to precise. You have a history of speaking clearly, making sense, and being right or being consistent, right. You know. And so I was listening. Christmas, you should know, was declared a federal holiday in the U.S. in 1870.
Makes sense.
So here's a woman who reminds me of one of my mom's friends calling into Prager's show because he basically said, I like Christmas. I'm a Jew. But I like people saying Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays or whatever we're calling it now. I like it. And I, as an atheist, sort of feel the same way. I love the Christmas part. I'm not offended by any religious affiliation to it.
I'm curious, actually, genuinely, why I've always wondered why people make such a big deal out of Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. We're saying essentially the same thing. Why do you, why does it, why does one make, this feels like a big to small thing for you. Like, why waste any calories on this whatsoever?
Well, because the holiday doesn't suggest what holiday it is. Christmas says it's this holiday. This is the holiday. That's kind of the specific part of it. And I'm sort of making the same argument, is why are we burning any calories? Just Merry Christmas. That's we're in a place where it celebrates Christmas. But Prager will address it. But the woman who's a Jewess, Gina.
Oh.
She likes the holiday better, and the point, I don't have strong, I like Merry Christmas, I like old time, whatever, I'm fine. I don't care about the holiday that much. My point is it's not what's correct, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. Either one will do for me. I prefer Christmas, but either one will do. It's one person is trying to make a point to the other person, and they know what they know, except for they don't know anything. And there's a lot of that going on. But I'll just listen. You can just listen to a funny interaction.
And Frimit or Frimit. Don't know. I'm not familiar with that name. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm I listen to you often, and I'm with you politically. However, when it comes to saying happy holidays, I prefer that to Merry Christmas. And, you know, because since when did Christmas become a national holiday?
It is a national holiday. It is a national holiday. Just like July 4th.
All right.
I don't believe that.
All right, hold on a second.
I don't believe that.
Now, listen, it just sounds like me talking to my mom's friends. Like, first off, know who you're talking to. The guy speaks five languages, and all he does is read books and smoke pipes. If he told you it's a national holiday, you can move on.
But also, have you ever gotten any mail on Christmas? Like, everyone knows it's a national holiday.
Ever cash a check?
Well, she doesn't believe it. See, the whole point is she doesn't believe that. It's her. See, how are you going to take that away?
She feels like there's
no Christmas. It's
she knows.
So why listen to the scholar who just told you it's been around for 128 years? So she didn't believe that.
No. She rejects it.
But now, understand, she's pushing a premise, which is, I like holiday over Christmas, and here's my angle. Here's the reason. Well, we just shot down your reason.
So now where do you go?
Well, I will tell you where we don't go. There we go.
Agreement?
You can rewind it 5 seconds or something if you can, or I don't know if you can do that, but go ahead.
What?
It is a national holiday, just like July 4th.
I don't believe that.
No, it's not a matter of belief. It's like saying you don't believe that that Lyndon Johnson was president. It's just a fact. Frimit, it's a fact.
What makes it a national holiday?
Congress makes national holidays. It was made a national holiday many, many years ago, well before you were born.
Oh, that's That's a new one.
Okay.
That's my mom's friend, by the way. So, first off, everything ends in a tie.
Yeah,
the reason everything's a tie is you get to go, well, I don't know about that.
The right answer is, yeah, my bad. Oh, I didn't know that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, I just don't like it.
Yeah. That's a new one. That's a new one. And a condescending voice. It's a new one from 1871.
It's not that new.
It's not that new. As a matter of fact, nobody, if you're an infant when it became a national holiday, you've been dead for 61 years. It's a new one. Maybe not a new one.
Let the baby have his bottle.
All right. So she has this premise. She's not signed off on the fact that the guy, by the way, God bless Dennis Prager. That guy's got way more patience than everyone I know. That's why when he's called a blustery blowhard or whatever, I'm going, no, that's not that guy. He should be yelling, zip it, bitch, at this point, but he's not. So then she's going to move forward, but it's funny because he'll predict it.
Oh, that's a new one.
Okay, I'm sure. All right, it might be new. Now that you know that, I assume it doesn't change your mind.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, right.
I much prefer Happy Holiday.
Why?
I think it's more inclusive.
Why is it more inclusive? Let me ask you a question.
Sensitivity.
Are you Jewish?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
And Holocaust survivor's child.
Okay. And my heart goes out to you. It's a big burden to be a Holocaust survivor's child. So
it certainly is.
I'm well aware. I believe me, I could tell you stories. I mean, I'm not, but I am well aware. But I want to ask you a question. Is it okay in Israel, where 20% of the population is not Jewish, is it okay to say Shabbat Shalom to non-Jews?
If you know they're not Jewish, you don't have to.
I didn't say have to.
Right. So that's another interesting thing. Like, you don't have to. Like, no, he said, is it okay?
Right.
So that's the other part where you like take, you don't have to. Mm. I'm just saying this kind of think and this kind of talk is getting real pervasive. Like, everybody's got an angle here. And it's going to be difficult to talk anyone out of their idea or even suggest your own if this is going to be
circular discussion.
This is going to be everyone's posture. It goes on for a while, but it's funny.
But people like that who won't answer a direct question end up confusing the other person so much. It's like, I don't even know how this conversation started. Maybe you're right. And that's what they want.
Right.
It's so confusing. It's such a wild ride at that point.
Well, also, I do this. I run into this a lot where people go, I was late because I had trouble tying my shoes. And I go, you're wearing flip-flops. And they go, oh, I was late because the Uber guy showed up late.
It's had trouble tying his shoes.
I thought we were talking about your shoes. Right. No, we've moved to the next thing. Right. And I'm like,
that's old news,
what
bud.
Stick?
Why am I, should I believe the first? What, should I, okay, this is the second one. Shall I question this or is this the one you're going to land on? It's kind of a weird thing to do out loud.
Yeah.
Prager's thing is like, look, if you're in a culture and the culture predominantly, if I moved to Mexico and they had a culture that celebrated the whatever, I wouldn't insist that I'm going to turn it into something else. I'd just say happy.
Whatever.
Yes. Whatever that is, wherever I was. That's kind of what his argument was. She doesn't like that. I also, as a groundling, former groundling, who was kicked out of the groundlings, I like specific better than general.
Yeah.
I don't like people going stuff, or I don't like when people go, if someone says to me, I'm a car guy, I'm like, what kind of cars? I'm not like, oh, cars.
Okay.
Or, oh, I like sports, you know. I like the specific part of life.
And being Jewish and having two Jewish parents and being raised, you know, conservative and going to synagogue every Friday night and the whole deal. My mom, I don't know if she still feels this way, but growing up, you'd see a bumper sticker that said, Jesus is the reason for the season. And she'd go, you know what? It is. And I always kind of appreciated that because it's like, if that's what you celebrate, then make it about that.
I also feel, if you think about her, how long it took him just to sell this 150-year-old holiday to her, there's a lot of narcissism, which is, I don't appreciate, like, a bitch just has nothing to do with you. These people celebrate Christmas. That's their culture. Wish them a Merry Christmas or they'll wish it to you. It's not about you. I'm Jewish and I don't feel like, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's about them. It's fine. Keep walking. Don't get caught up in it. This notion of what you brought up earlier, like, I wasn't blaming coaches and foremen and I wasn't blaming anyone. I wanted to get on with it. This thing of like, I want people to say this instead of that. Why? How's that serve you? What's it do for your 401k? What's it do for your children? Does it make you taller? Does it make you thinner? What is it? Why?
None of it.
Why are we investing this energy?
Yeah.
Keep moving. All right, Kevin Pollak is out there. Oh, he's Jewish?
Nice Jewish boy. Moshe Mazel in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Has there been a more decorated or ballyhooed?
Oh, got to bring that back.
I, every time I drive to the Melrose Improv, every billboard on Improv is like Marvelous. I'm literally just going to pull over and just camp out on one of those billboards and just stare at it. Like it's all over the place.
Every episode is a sweeping cinematic event. It is so beautifully done. It's so wonderfully written.
Oh, so we'll talk to Kevin about that. He's got movies out. He's doing everything. We'll talk to the great Kevin Pollak right after this. Ludo TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501, it is the best. It is Pluto TV.